And we welcome you to another edition of Giants First and Ten, presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New York Giants. I'm Bob Papa, and we got a great show lined up for you. The top 10 things you need to know about the Giants and Niners. I apologize ahead of time. A little under weather this week, but we're going to get through this hour and get you prepared. I got my Hall of Famer, Harry Carson, two-time Super Bowl champion, Senor Banks. And we got some offense here with a Super Bowl champion and tight end, Howard Cross. Let's take a look at the menu board here on the program. We'll hear from Giants head coach Ben McAdoo. He'll join us in studio. Carl Banks goes to the coach's tape with strategy. Giants rookie linebacker Calvin Munson will join us here on the program. He'll speak with Paul Dottino. Wide receiver Tavares King will join us in studio. And we continue our look back at the 10-year anniversary of the Super Bowl 42 champion New York Giants as Antonio Pierce made one of the great plays on third down that you'll ever see. With that said, time to put item number one up on the board. We call this no huddle. 25 seconds go on the clock. As we always do, we start with Harry. Now, I mentioned AP, 2007, third and 33.
25 seconds, Harry.
You know, the game's been over a week now, but what still eats at me in last week's game is the Giants gave up a third and 33 play, a one-yard pass. That one-yard pass has the same effect on me as DeSean Jackson returning a punt return when he was with the Eagles, and also the fumble. So, you know, this is one of those plays that will live in Giants infamy.
All right. He just gets in under the wire. Carl, 25 seconds go on the clock. What's the rush?
What's the rush? I say that is because at the rate you're going, you need to pick it up and finish the season. Why rush to be the worst team in football? Why rush to be looked at like you're quitters? Give it your best effort. You got 8 games. You have enough talent to win football. Do not be in a rush to be called losers.
Yeah, I mean, 8 games left in the season. Howard, what do I have?
What do I have? Like, when you're a player, you start looking at every game and every week of what do I have? What do I have to do? What do I have to play for? What do I have, you know, for my teammates? And my question is, when you go into the locker room as players and coaches, what do I have? What do I have to do next? And I'm not sure what they're going to be thinking or what they're going to say to each other, if they can look each other in the eye or look in the mirror and figure it out. But what do I have is the thing they're going to have to figure out for the rest of these, for the rest of the season, is the 8 games.
What do you do when you're on the field and you know that you've looked in the mirror and you are doing everything that you can to try to make that play and win that series, and you look around and you see other guys not necessarily doing what you're doing?
You know, I know it has to be very frustrating, but in a way, I think we all have to recuse ourselves because we are of a different era.
You
don't necessarily know how these players are thinking now, because it might not affect them the way that it has affected us and in the way that we played the game.
It's a different game. And you know, helmets will be thrown, stuff will be, there'll be fights on the sideline.
Yeah.
The world's just different. You can't do that anymore, or you're not supposed to.
One thing is universal, though. Winning is contagious. And guys like winning, so if you get enough good plays out there, you got enough good players to win a football game.
All right, it's time to shift gears. Giants are going to be in San Francisco. Item number two goes up on the board. In 1981, the Giants ended a 17-year drought, making it to the postseason for the first time since 1963. After an upset playoff win in Philadelphia, the Giants got their first taste of the Niners in a big spot in Candlestick.
In 1981, the Giants headed to San Francisco and faced the 49ers in the NFC Divisional Playoff game. In a tough-fought battle, Big Blue would come up short. But a rivalry was born that would span the next 4 decades.
San Francisco was an Achilles heel. They beat us in 81, they beat us in 84, and, you know, we kind of hated them.
But in week 13 of the 1986 season, trailing the Niners 17-0 at the half, Big Blue would mount a legendary comeback, fueled by this historic play.
Complete to Bavaro, down to the 35, still on his feet for the 30, down to the 25, down to the 20! He's got 4 men on his back and gets down to the 17!
They would follow up that regular season victory with a 49-3 rout of the Niners at Giant Stadium.
Throws wildly, intercepted! Here goes Taylor down to the 20! 10! Touchdown!
LT! LT! Way to go!
4 years later, the Giants would lose a hard-fought regular season battle to the Niners in San Francisco on Monday Night Football. But they would get their chance at redemption when the two teams met later that season at Candlestick Park for the historic 1990 NFC Championship game.
That takes down, finally hit from behind. The ball's loose. Hit behind the line of scrimmage, and the Giants have the ball. Lawrence Taylor out of the pack with the ball.
Fans are on their feet and screaming. Snap, spot. Kick is away, it's got the distance. It is good! Good!
And the
good.
Giants are going to Tampa Bay. It's over for the three-peats. It's over.
Over the next 12 years, the 49ers would get some payback in the playoffs at home, culminating with a devastating collapse by the Giants in the 2002 wildcard game. Almost a decade would pass before the two teams faced off again in the postseason, with the rivalry being renewed in the 2011 NFC Championship game. In a tough smash-mouth affair, both teams would fight in a classic showdown that would come right down to the wire.
Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do! Knocked out by Jaquan Williams and recovered by the Giants. From 31 yards to put the Giants in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. Snap is low. Kick on its way. It's got the distance, and it is good! And Lawrence Tynes has done it again. He's kicked the Giants to the second Super Bowl in 4 years.
Following their victory in Super Bowl 46, the Giants would get the better of the 49ers once again in 2012.
The back of the end zone. Touchdown, Giants on the post. Victor Cruz.
And the Giants come to San Francisco, and they make a statement.
Yeah, and the Giants would beat him again in San Francisco in 2014. Man, I get chills just watching those games. You guys participated in them. Ari had the interception in 1984 in the playoff game. Did they feel like almost division rivals, even though they were from the other coast at that point, the way the 80s went?
They didn't feel like division rivals, but they were a good test for the Giants. Now, you know, when you talk about Bill Parcells and Bill Walsh, you know, there was this sort of envy, I think, between the two of them. And I think with Parcells, he took offense that everybody called Bill Walsh like the genius. Mm-hmm. And he enjoyed going out to San Francisco or playing them at any point and beating the San Francisco 49ers.
What about for you, Carl?
It felt like a rival for sure. But it was the rivalry that you wanted because, you know, it playing them meant something. During the era in which I played, it was either a trip to the playoffs, a trip to the next stage of the playoffs, but it was always for something.
And a great way to measure yourself.
Yeah.
And where you guys were, and you certainly won your fair share. Howard, you know, your thoughts about it. You were part of that team in 1990 that upset them. They were going for three in a row, three Super Bowls in a row.
It was like beating the Kings, man. These guys were the best team in football. They had the great quarterback at the time, the best quarterback in the league. You got to see the best receiver play. You just wanted to beat them. They were awesome, you know, to play against the Niners and to go out there and get a win. That was pretty crazy.
All right, we got a lot more shows still to come. Let's take a look at Giants programming throughout the course of the week. Giants First and 10 debuts each and every Friday night. Two airings this week on Friday, and also two airings on Saturday. Giants Access Blue on My 9 Saturday night at 11. Giants Chronicles featuring Antonio Pierce and the 2007 NFC Championship game in Green Bay comes your way at 10. Giants First and 10 at 10:30. And then Giants Postgame Live presented by Mercedes-Benz after the Giants and the Niners. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back here on the program, head coach Ben McAdoo joins us here on Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks. Welcome back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Network. Sunday afternoon, the Giants travel out to Santa Clara to take on the San Francisco 49ers. As always, item number three goes up on the board, and we're joined by the head coach of the New York Giants, Ben McAdoo. Coach, you got to play hurt, playing hurt this week. Just talk about your team and sort of their mindset after what happened last week, now going out on the road this week.
Yeah, you know what? I had a chance to come in and on Tuesday, watch the film, grade the film, had some honest conversations with each other. We flushed it. We moved on. We're ready for this week.
Coach, it's uncharted territory for any coach to have a lot of losses. What are the challenges in terms of here's your game plan, here's your team. You know you got a group that want to go get it done. What is the, what are the challenges in getting them to that stage?
Well, the first thing is we address the problems. Second thing is we have to do simple better. We have to put a good plan together as coaches, keep it simple, and allow the players to go out and play fast. When you go through something like you went through on Sunday, you don't ever want to go through it, first of all. But it's a part of the game. You have to learn from it, and then you have to respond to it the right way. And we have. The players have done a great job responding to it. We've had a couple good practices, and we have a good, simple plan together. They can go out and execute and play fast. The players are studying the plan. They'll prepare, and they'll be ready to perform on Sunday.
Now, is it hard to focus on some of the positives? I mean, you know, you got to address, like you said, you have those difficult conversations, but lost in all of that was a pretty positive run game. Mm-hmm. And it's something you can build on, but is that, like, do you get to that early or you get to that as the week goes on saying, hey, we got to keep doing this right as we correct some of the other things that we are not doing well?
Yeah, I try to stay as level-headed as I can. And one thing that I was talking to, you know, Craig Johnson and Mike Solari, running backs coach and our offensive line coach, is what's encouraging is when we put big people on the field, we run the ball better. That's something that we haven't always done here in the last few years. So when we had three tight ends on the field, or whoever it may be, and we get a little bit bigger, we block fairly well now. We're starting to build on that and play physical and play heavy-handed that way, and our backs are responding. They're being more patient with the cuts and with the seams. They're cutting off the heels of the offensive line and off the tight ends. So that's something that is encouraging here as the weather turns.
So we look ahead to this weekend. What are the challenges that the 49ers present?
The 49ers, the scheme offensively, there are some similarities to what we saw last week. So we'll see some cut splits, some bunches, those types of sets from the offense. They've used some multiple personnel groups. They have some guys nicked, whether it's tight ends or their fullback. So it'll be interesting to see how they come out of the gate. They like to mix the personnel groups early. But they'll challenge you. They'll challenge you underneath with shallow crosses, with the spacing routes. They'll have a plan downfield to do some hard run action and challenge you down the field that way, too. They're young on special teams, but they can run. They have some guys that can run. They play fast. They play physical. They play combative under Hightower there. So they do a good job of that. Defensively, their front can be a challenge. Buckner's really playing at a high level. He's a big man, an imposing man, and he's getting better with each rep. Their corners are long. They fit that Seattle-type scheme, and they want to play cover three, but they play more like bump and run on the outside, and they try to beat you up and disrupt your timing. So we have our hands full going out there.
Coach, just Carlos Hyde, he's one of the best backs in the league. Mm-hmm. Running it and catching it, similar to Gurley, do they utilize him in a similar way?
They do. He's a weapon for him in the run game and a weapon for him in the pass game. And he can pass protect, so there's really not much he can't do. But he runs thick. He's a big, heavy back. He has good vision. He's not afraid to put his shoulder down and get those tough yards, too.
Coach, best of luck on Sunday.
All right, thank you.
That's New York Giants head coach Ben McAdoo breaking it down. So let's go deeper into this. Time to put item number 4 up on the board. Carl Banks with strategy on the coach's tape.
Number 28, Carlos Hyde, seems to be the key to the San Francisco 49ers offense. What linebackers will have to do when they see him in the game in an I formation is really key him, because you'll see once they line a fullback up, they stop and they change the formation strength. Now it looks like they're going to run the ball to the fullback size. But check number 50. The middle linebacker, or now the strong side linebacker, cannot overplay this play, because I'll circle number 28. He's going to be the key. You can't think he's going to run towards his fullback. And I'll run this, and you'll see what happens when you follow the fullback. He starts there, and the fullback comes over. Now, look where the linebacker is. He started off in one position. He fast played it. Now he's completely out of the play because they ran like a counter right back around, and there's the kick out, and he's on his way. Carlos Hyde is a very skillful runner, great lateral movement, but it is the scheme. Linebackers, if you see him in a what we call an I position, meaning directly behind the quarterback, do not be fooled by the blocking schemes. He's the guy who's going to take you to the direction of the play. So if you're the backside linebacker, which number 50 is now, you've got to slow play him and almost mirror him. So when you take off going fast and he goes the other direction, you've just created a major problem for your defense.
That was Strategy with Carl Banks, brought to you by TSENG. We make things work for you. Let's take a look at the Giants' first and 10 programming grid. Debuts every Friday night, two airings on Friday, two more on Saturday, and then one Sunday morning after Giants Chronicles. When we come back, we'll take you inside the Giants locker room. Paul Dottino talks with Calvin Munson as we continue with Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Network. We welcome you back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the Giants. Sunday, it's the Giants and Niners in San Francisco. Now it's time to put item number 5 up on the board. We sent Paul Dottino into the Giants locker room, and with this season being a struggle for the Giants, it's an opportunity, like for rookie free agent linebacker Calvin Munson.
Calvin, you go up against a 49ers team that basically features Carlos Hyde, not just in the running game, but in the passing game. So as a dual threat, how much of a worry is he?
It's a big challenge. He's a great athlete. They like to get the ball to him in the passing game and the running game. So we just got to play our ball, play our defense, and I think it'll take care of itself.
We're talking about your team with one win, them with no wins. Is this a situation of who wants it more and who is desperate more? Because you know they're not really looking forward to hearing about the stuff that you guys have been hearing about here.
Yeah, I think both teams are desperate for a win. And, when it comes down to that, I don't think either teams are going to quit or give up, right now in the season or in this game. So I think it's going to be a hard-fought game. And, I think it is going to come down to who wants it more and who's more desperate to get that win.
Now, when you were at San Diego State, one year you had double-digit sacks. Last year you had over 100 tackles. So you've been productive in a variety of different roles in school. What about here with the Giants? How comfortable are you with your role? Are you doing a lot of things that you did when you were in school?
Yes and no. Some things I did at school a little more. I blitzed more. I was on the edge a little more in the defense at San Diego State here. I'm more over the middle, kind of right over the ball. So I would say in that kind of aspect, my role's different. At San Diego State, I don't play as much special teams, and here that's one of my big roles is special teams. But I'm just trying to do the best I can, fit wherever they need me, do whatever I have to do the best I can.
The season's not over, but what would be the number one learning experience you've picked up from the adversity of going through your rookie season?
It's just a grind. Everybody talks about how long the season is as a rookie. You got to do all this stuff. You're constantly training from after your senior year all the way to the end of this year. So it is a grind. But, just being around these guys, they're all willing to work every day, go out there. So, I just try to learn from some of the vets and just kind of how they be a pro every day, how they go about their business, and just try to learn from them.
And that's Calvin Munson, and the man who spoke with him joins us now on the set, Paul Dottino. Paul?
Good to see you, Bob. Guys, when you're talking about Carlos Hyde, it's obviously the linebackers that are going to have a big role in trying to stop him. But, Howard, this is a guy who's run for about 500 yards. Almost half of those yards have come after contact. And he's third among NFL running backs with 40 receptions. So, from the Giants' perspective, are you more concerned about him in the passing game or the running game?
I think he's a problem in both facets of the game. The problem is that the running game, you got guys out there, the linebackers, Munson's coming up, free agent, trying to make a play. This guy's looking for Munson when he's running the ball. Also, Munson's got to cover him out of the backfield. How is he going to do that? This guy's a polished receiver. And in open space, it's harder to tackle him.
He's getting the bulk of everything, and then they're sprinkling it around. But I think it starts up front with this defensive line. If you want to stop a good running back, you don't let him get through the line of scrimmage free. So if they can get some things going up front, then the linebackers will be okay at the second level.
Now, Carl, one thing that's interesting to me is that Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, has been a heavy blitz guy this year. But the Giants are giving up 5.5 yards per carry when they blitz. The average NFL defense, when they blitz, only gives up about 4 yards a carry. If you want to continue to be aggressive, what do you do to clean that up?
Well, number one, you have to be healthy. And I think when Spags blitzes, it's in some desperate situations because he's been shorthanded on the back end of his defense, and it's primarily blitzing out of necessity now. And he knows that it's a hit or miss sometimes. So if they can get the game on their terms with this young quarterback, then maybe they can blitz it. But I don't think he can take the chance to blitz to try to do anything unless it's of necessity.
I think the young quarterback, think about this. He's sitting there looking at Garoppolo over and waiting in the wing. This young quarterback's going to be playing for his life, his career, his job. He's going to make every play he can. He's going to be taking some risks that he wouldn't ordinarily take because he knows his replacement is waiting and learning the playbook.
It's interesting. They only have three runs this year of over 20 yards, though. Hyde has all three of them, and none have gone for touchdowns. Good stuff, Paul.
Good to see you guys.
That's Paul Dottino inside the Giants locker room. Well, a lot of news around the Giants this past week. We're going to check the bulletin board with Madeline Burke when we come back, as well as a little talk in the locker room. How well do the Giants know San Francisco?
All right, what San Francisco team originated in New York?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
It's a tough one.
They play baseball.
They play baseball. Oh, the Giants.
Yeah.
San Francisco Giants.
Right? Got them. And that's why it's the New York Football Giants, not to be confused with.
Got it. The San Francisco Giants.
Yeah.
I like that.
Once upon a time.
Welcome back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop. Got to play hurt. Giants in San Francisco to play the 49ers this weekend. Let's take a look at the menu board and what we have still to come here on the program. Giants on the road. We'll ask the Giants about going to San Francisco to play the Niners. We'll be joined in studio by Tavares King. Paul Schwartz of the New York Post joins us for Extra Point. And as our look back at the 10-year anniversary of the Super Bowl 42 champion Giants, one of the great plays made on third down by Antonio Pierce. Time to put item number 6 up on the board, bulletin board, and thank God Madeline Burke's here. Madeline, take it away.
Thanks, Bob. I know you're playing hurt today, too, but, you know, as for the bulletin board, we've got a few quotes. Deion Sanders is our first one. He was on NFL Game Day primetime, and he said, you know what, this season is not about Eli Manning. He says it's not a fork in Eli. Eli is not done. Eli's a byproduct of what is going on around him. Carl, do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, actually I do, because you win as a team, you lose as a team. Sure, Eli has been accountable for the mistakes that he's made, but when you are 1-7, it's more than just a quarterback. And I think he knows that, and it's a great point by Deion.
Yeah, it's not just Eli Manning. I think the blame can go around to everyone, every coach, every player. You know, has to own this because, you know, it's not just Eli. Yeah, we had the injuries and so forth, and he has less to work with, but it's not just on Eli Manning.
Now, with this team at 1-7, obviously people are looking towards the future, possibly a high draft pick and possibly what this team will build towards going forward. Kurt Warner, appearing on NFL Network, talked about this and said, you know what, Eli should continue to start. He should start. He should play. But when the game is a little bit out of reach or the season gets more and more out of reach, they should pull him at different times and periodically put in the young guy, meaning Davis Webb, and see if they believe that guy could be the future when Eli decides to retire.
Well, I think that's because he experienced that here in New York with Eli. You know, he was the guy that was starting. Eventually they got Eli in there. But I have no problem with if a game is out of control. And let's not assume with 8 games left, they're going to be blowouts like this last one. Eli is their best chance to win. He'll keep them in a game, point blank.
Right, but and just like we saw last week, too, in the fourth quarter, they put Geno Smith in when the game was out of reach to keep Eli protected as well. This could be an opportunity to see what they have in
place. I don't always agree with those folks who put their little statements on bulletin board, but I certainly will agree with Kurt Warner. I think that you have to, at some point, know what you have in the future.
That's bulletin board with Madeline. Time to put item number 7 up on the board. So how well do the Giants know San Francisco? It's time for Giants on the Road, presented by United with Madeline.
All right, the Giants are headed to San Francisco to play the 49ers. So in this edition of On the Road, presented by United, we're going to see how well this team knows San Francisco. You ready for this?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. First of all, what is the most famous bridge in San Francisco?
What's that bridge called? I've seen it on a Verizon commercial.
San Francisco Bridge. Yeah.
Usually say the most famous is the Golden Gate, but I think the most used would be the Bay Bridge.
Right.
I don't know if you could fact check me, but I'm almost positive that that's correct. Both bridges are extremely expensive, by the way. Yep. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Bay Bridge goes to Oakland.
Yes.
The youngsters get hyphy.
Yes. East Oakland, but the youngsters get hyphy.
Lower.
Hey.
What weather phenomenon happens in San Francisco about 100 days a year?
Weather phenomenon.
Ooh, 100 days every year? Earthquakes.
Fog?
Yeah, you got it.
Fog, okay.
Fog, you know the fog even has its own Instagram account.
I didn't know that.
Carl the Fog.
All right.
Hopefully Carl doesn't come through on game day.
Yeah, hopefully.
What is the San Francisco treat? Is it macaroni, rice-a-roni, or Rice Krispies?
The treat?
Yeah.
Rice Krispies. See.
Macaroni.
Rice-a-roni?
Yeah. Do you know the jingle?
I don't.
Bonus points for the jingle? No.
Anybody know it?
Rice-a-roni.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Never. It's like 90s thing. Never.
Yeah. Never.
Right, that's fair. All right. What San Francisco team originated in New York?
Ooh. That's a tough one.
It's a tough one. They play baseball.
They play baseball. Oh. The Giants.
Yeah.
San Francisco Giants.
Right? Got them. What city do the San Francisco 49ers play in?
San Jose.
San Diego. What's that? They set me up in here, man. I'm trying to get my answers from him, and he told me.
I know, right? What city do the San Francisco 49ers play in?
Santa Clara.
He got the trick question. The name 49ers comes from
the Gold Rush.
Oh, bam. I didn't even have to finish the question. Drop the mic. Nailed it.
All right, that was good stuff with the guys having a little fun, a little geography, and that was Giants on the Road presented by United. We're going to take a timeout when we come back on the program. Tavares King will join us. He had a touchdown last week as we continue with Giants First and 10 presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks.
Shotgun. Feels pressure now. Throws back of the end zone. Touchdown, Giants. Tavares King, work at the back of the end zone. They throw a little wide receiver screen to Tavares King. He runs out of a tackle inside the 35. Manning takes the shotgun snap. Feels pressure now, throws back of the end zone. Touchdown, Giants. Tavares King, work in the back of the end zone.
Tavares King with a touchdown against the Rams as we welcome you back to Giants First and 10 presented by Stop and Shop. Item number 8 goes up on the board. It is our player spotlight, and Tavares King joins us here in studio. And you had a touchdown catching Green Bay last year in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do with your first regular season touchdown ball?
I just kept it. I'll probably give it to my daughter, actually, yeah.
That's pretty cool. TK, you guys went from a group that most teams would fear to a group of, who are these guys, right? Mm-hmm. Now, we know you've got some game experience, but how has it been now being one of the guys that have to practice every day on the main routes for Eli Manning?
You know, I embrace it. Myself, Roger, Travis, Ed, we've all embraced that role and have stepped into a tremendous opportunity. Tremendous opportunity, and we want to do well with the opportunity, and we want to help this team with the opportunity. So, we attack every day like we've been attacking every day, and that's with a starter mindset. So nothing's really changed. We just kept the main thing.
Did you guys, and you in particular, was it like this last few weeks a matter of getting on even a deeper level with the quarterback in terms of what he likes, what you like, and how he's going to throw?
Absolutely. That's a big part of what we do on a day in and day out basis is getting consistency with Eli and the quarterbacks. And, that's tough to do mid-season, but you know we're working and we're working on it and we're progressing every day. So,
all right, now you got this weekend. You got the San Francisco 49ers. They got a decent defense, but not a great defense. It's a chance for you guys to put some hang some points on them. What role do you figure you're going to have in that?
Man, just the role that I've had all week long or the past few weeks, and just to be where I need to be when they need me to be there, and I think that I'll be able to, you know, get on top of these guys and, you know, hopefully hit them deep a few times.
Now, they like to play a physical coverage. Mm-hmm. And do you guys approach this, you in particular, do you have to look at each side of the football, each cornerback, and say, okay, this guy plays me a certain way and this guy plays me a certain way?
Yeah, you definitely do, and that's what you do during the week. You break down film on those guys. You know, I'll pick a day, and it'll be the right corner. And then the next day it'll be the left corner, and I'll break him down, figure out how what he likes to do, what hand he likes to shoot when he jams, things like that. And, you know, I'll have him broken down by Sunday, and whatever side of the ball I'm on, left or right, it'll be easy for him.
You sorry you got it down now. What can we expect this weekend then? If you got all that information, I want to see something. I want to be watching very closely.
Don't get a game plan out.
I ain't going to get a game plan.
Who you circle on the map? Who you got out there?
Don't say it.
I ain't even going to let you know. He trying to let me spill the beans.
Yeah, he wants you to spill the beans.
Tell me something, man. He got a hand checking and everything.
Talk a little bit about their overall defense, though. What they like to do schematically.
Man, they play a lot of one high. It's a one high scheme, similar to, you know, some things we've seen before, Seattle and the Chargers. Similar to those defenses, a lot of one high. They're gonna press us outside. You know, those guys in the box are really good. So we got a test for us, but we got an opportunity to do something great this weekend.
Well, let me ask you this one thing, because adversity can either make you or break you.
Absolutely.
Right? You guys are in a situation now where it's uncharted territory, you know? How are you guys as a collective?
We're good. You know, our biggest thing has been staying together. You know, when times are rough, like they are right now, and, you know, we have miscues and things of that sort, you got to stay together. You got to keep that camaraderie. You got to keep that tightness, and we've got that. We've got that in our locker room, offensively, special teams, and defensively. We're sticking together.
You were there at 11-5.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same coach, you know, and you guys are all going through it together. When you talk about sticking together, is it an accountability thing? Is it like, is the confidence shaking? Is anyone looking at the next man saying, don't bail on me? Or is it just like, hey, let's rally around, because this is the same group in terms of coaching staff that you guys had a lot of success with the year before?
Yeah, it's definitely more of a rally thing. You know, we know what we have here. We know the talent. We know the work we put in on a day in and day out basis. So, I mean, obviously it's tough for us, but our leaders and, you know, our old guys have been powerful, positive presences. And, you know, we're just moving forward.
That's the thing that people probably want to know. Like when you close the locker room doors, there are guys, you don't have to name names, there are guys standing up. What's the message to guys, the players themselves, are giving to each other?
Man, just that, like I said, stick together. Just stick together. We're doing the right things. We're working. We're competing on every day. So things will turn around. That's the message. Things will turn around. We just got to stick together and continue to do the right things.
Tavares, we appreciate a couple minutes. Good luck on Sunday.
All right, thanks so much.
Tavares King joining us here on the program. Still to come, Extra Point. Howard's going to be here. He's going to go one-on-one with Paul Schwartz of the New York Post. This segment has been brought to you in part by the NFL Ticket Exchange, the only official ticket exchange of the NFL. Time for Stats Plus, brought to you by Cash for Life from the New York Lottery. You can win $1,000 a day for life. 5.15, running back Orleans Darkwa averaging 5.15 yards per carry this season. It's the fifth best mark in the NFL, and the Niners have struggled against the run. They have the last-ranked rush defense in the NFL. 208, Eli Manning will start his 208th consecutive regular season game, which would tie his brother Peyton for the second longest streak in NFL history at the quarterback position. Brett Favre sits atop the leaderboard at 297. 13. Since Eli Manning started his first game on November the 21st, 2004, the Niners have had 13 starting quarterbacks, and that is not a who's who. And then 5. The Giants' rookie tight end touchdown record is 5, set by Bob Tucker in 1970. Evan Ingram has 4 so far this season. As we welcome you back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop, item number 9 goes up on the board. It's time for Extra Point. Howard Cross is with us, and we welcome in Paul Schwartz of the New York Post. And, Paul, a lot of questions about this Giants team. Lack of effort last week. Did they give up?
Well, Howard, as you know, you played a long time. The deadly four-letter word, right? Quit. The players quit. You know what? I think it's a lazy narrative. It's a lazy storyline. They were awful in the game, but it's almost too easy of an excuse. Oh, they weren't terrible. They just quit. No, they didn't quit. They tried. They were just awful.
Quit. I don't think anybody quits because, you know, the eye in the sky don't lie. When we film all the games, you watch all the tape. Well, it's not tape anymore. Now it's digital. But you watch everything from every angle possible. When you don't do something, it's on tape. So you're not quitting for a game or a play or anything. You're quitting on your career. So if you quit, that's what happens. You're out of the league next year. They don't quit because they know that people are watching. And if they did quit, they'll know they won't be around next year.
The football was terrible, not the fact that they didn't try. The problem is they tried. That's the problem. They tried. They just were awful.
I think momentum rolls both ways. When it's rolling down and it's rolling down on you, it's hard to get out of the way of that ball.
And tackling has been an issue since week one for this team, and it's manifested itself over 8 games. All right, so does Davis Webb get some run at some point this season?
You know, I think, you know, sometimes, look, we all love Eli. He's been a great player, a great giant, but there's this, like, mythical sense now that Eli can never come out of a game. Look, no one expected the game to go this way, the season to be 1-7. Eli has to start. He deserves to start. He gives them the best chance to win. But they need to find out if Davis Webb can play. They might be sitting on a 1, 2, or 3 pick. You need to know if you need to take a quarterback. Davis Webb has to play at some point down the stretch of these games.
Okay, then let me go Aaron Rodgers, Steve Young. I can name a bunch of guys who didn't play, whether the season was good or bad. They sat there behind the guy that was playing. Didn't really matter. You don't draft a guy that only gets drafted if you're having a good season. If you're having a bad season, you just stick him in the game. That's not how the game works. You play games trying to win games. The best opportunity to win is with Eli. It has nothing to do with some mythical thing that people talk about. And I don't care if it's Eli, if it's Aaron Rodgers, if it's Tony Romo or anyone, that's the way the games play.
The Giants are getting production out of their first 2 draft picks this past season.
You know, there's not a lot of silver linings, but, you know, I'm sure you see the same thing. Evan Ingram looks like a tremendous player, and he really cares. He battles. You know, he catches the ball for 6 yards. He wants 10 yards. You know, he's never stopping. His feet are moving. You know, I think he's making an effort to block. That's not his forte. He looks like a real keeper. And, you know, more quietly, Dalvin Tomlinson is a good player. I mean, I think he's going to be a, you know, 4, 5, 7-year starter at defensive tackle here. I think he's a good player. So they got it right with 1 and 2.
Yeah, 1 and 2 did a good job. I think, you know, Ingram does do a better job blocking than people give him credit for. Willing participant in that position, putting himself in a lot of tough spots against some bigger guys. He does a decent job. And catching the ball, we knew he was going to be a fabulous receiver. Dalvin Thompson, Roll Tide, does a good job fighting in the middle. He's a lot better than I thought he was going to be on this level, and he's doing a good job with his hands.
You know what? I will defer to you on the blocking part of the tight end for Evan Ingram, okay? Because you did it pretty well.
Paul, we appreciate the time.
Yep.
Paul Schwartz of the New York Post. Well, there was 3rd and 33 last week. Didn't go so well. But there was a great third down play made in the 2007 NFC Championship game in Green Bay against the Packers. We're going to hear Antonio Pierce in his own words when we come back. You're watching Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New York Giants, here on the MSG Network.
We have a good, simple plan together. They can go out and execute and play fast. The players are studying the plan. They'll prepare, and they'll be ready to perform on Sunday.
You got to stay together. You got to keep that camaraderie. You got to keep that tightness, and we've got that.
What's it said? They set me up for him. I'm trying to get my answers from him, and he told me.
I know, right?
Well, that was the Geico Show recap. Geico 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. As we welcome you back to Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop, time to put item number 10 up on the board. This Sunday on Giants Chronicles, we're going to get a look at Antonio Pierce and one of the great plays made in the 2007 NFC Championship game in Green Bay, shutting down a third down conversion by the Packers in a screen that could have changed the course of history.
In the frigid NFC Championship game at Lambeau Field in Green Bay 10 years ago, the Packers led the Giants by 1 point late in the first half and were threatening to add a touchdown to widen their lead. when Big Blues middle linebacker Antonio Pierce stepped up to save the day.
It was right before the two-minute warning. They're driving. You know, they got a little momentum.
So it's 3rd and 8 from the 19-yard line.
I knew it was an opportunity for us to just not give up a touchdown.
Favre out of the shotgun, barks out signals, takes the snap and drops back. Screen set up left.
Recognize the screen. I'm like, oh, man, we're in trouble. And I remember seeing the lineman already kind of having a couple steps on me. And I'm like, I just got to shoot it. Like, I don't know if I'm going to make the play, but if I don't shoot it, it's an easy touchdown.
Complete it, and then it's stood up by Antonio Pierce, who makes the play at the 19-yard line with a blocker on his back.
You talk about a great play by Antonio Pierce.
Nobody really talks about that, but that was one of the best plays I think I saw in the whole playoffs that year.
I mean, that was unbelievable.
And look what he's got out in front of him. I mean, there's three blockers, and yet he's able to go through them.
It should have been a touchdown. It should have been that type of play that breaks our back, and yet it was the type of play that broke their back. And again, it's Antonio Pierce. I wasn't too surprised.
And make sure you join us on in the MSG Networks. MSG Networks Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern for Giants Chronicles, Antonio Pierce, the 2007 NFL season through his eyes and words. And I got two linebackers here, so this is where we need to go. How cool a play is that, and how much of that is instinct and preparation?
It's certainly instinct. I don't know how much preparation, but it's by a guy who wanted to make something happen. He saw the situation develop, and he went after it, and he made a great play. Tremendous play.
And you know, it's so interesting because I got chills just hearing you guys talk about it, because inside linebacker, right? Sometimes it's damn if you do, damn if you don't, but damn if I won't. And he just went. You know, he said, I don't know if I'm going to make it, but I got to do something or else nothing's going to happen. And he went in there and made a play. It's such a exciting play.
And as we were watching the piece, you're like, man, that's a touchdown.
Yeah.
Green Bay is historically run great screens. If you look at that play again from the clip, you'll see three linemen
set up
and
well.
Nobody out in front of him. He's running through, cutting through the gap, trying to make the play. If he doesn't do it, the game's a different game.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you win championships. Mm-hmm. We are out of our allotted time. Make sure you enjoy the Giants and the 49ers. And for Harry Carson, Carl Banks, Harry Cross, Paul Dottino, Madeline Burke, and our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Giants First and 10, presented by Stop and Shop here on the MSG Networks.